The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John, Jesus came into Galilee, the Gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." In the name of Jesus, dear fellow believers in Christ, the word of God serving as the basis of our meditation this morning has been written by the Holy Spirit to the evangelist Mark. We just heard it, and it's really, really good news. Jesus faced our foe and won. That's the title of our meditation. Please be seated. You know all about this. Every one of you, across the spectrum of your life in all kinds of different ways. And tragically, you'll learn a whole lot more about this the rest of your life, because like it or not, this is no friend to your life or mine. I mean, it's crazy. Comes a knocking. Who is it? Just a little sin. Let me in. How many ways do we open the door and all hell breaks loose? Because we take the bait. How many ways? The answer is, this is the word for the day, legion. How many ways? Answer is legion. Yeah, it's crazy. Picture the little boy. Mom made the cookies. They smell so good. She leaves them on the table within reach and says, "No cookies until after we eat broccoli." No pressure. And she leaves the room. Temptation. Temptation. How about that really hot date? Man. Just a little temptation. Or the guy that's at the friend's house. Know he's at the limit, and yet there's one more offered, and he knows he crosses a line and he's got to drive home. Temptation. Or the news of someone's really great promotion, and jealousy starts buzzing around and bitterness starts buzzing around. Yeah, temptation. Well, we've just looked at the Ten Commandments. How many in the world say they're not the commandments, they're the suggestions? Or we don't have to follow any of that. I mean, how many churches now are giving permission across the boundary saying it's okay as long as it's meaningful? I mean, certainly there's a lot of pressure out in the unbelieving world that says, you know, who cares about the commandments? Live any way you want. We're all doing it. It's okay. No big deal. Certainly the devil with his schemes are in the details. But it's fascinating how James really kind of hones in. Where does temptation begin? Here and here. And we see something, we hear something, and then our desire actually holds us captive and drags us off into temptation. I mean, it's crazy. In James, we get this anatomy of a temptation. Here's how he says it in brief. "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." The theological term for it, are you ready? Gosh, two words for the day. We've talked about legion, and now it's concupiscence. My goodness, what a word. That's what we have in our Lutheran confessions, concupiscence. It's this natural tendency for us to play too close to the edge. Temptation comes along and we crawl away hoping that it catches us, right? I mean, it's crazy. Or it's just a little thing. It won't be that big of a deal, and then it ends up becoming more. I mean, think about it. When we fall into temptation, when we decide to go off on our own, not only can it hurt us, but it can have cascading damage to others. Call it divorce. Call it incarceration. I mean, it can be a pretty big deal after a while. Or just a ruined relationship. And man, these things. It's a little cute and fun when you think about the little boy with a cookie, but there's plenty of things in your life, in my life, we wish we wouldn't have done. Because we know the pain of temptation. We understand the collateral damage of taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker. Man, I grew up fishing. I mean, I've got too many stories. I mean, I've caught fish where they've swallowed it, and yes, it's to their death. They're done. 70% of trout released, even if they're hooked by the end of their mouth, die. I mean, it can be pretty brutal. I've seen gear going out the other end too. And we know what it's like. And it's tempting for us to say it's all the devil's fault, and certainly he wants all the credit. And certainly the unbelieving world is messing with you every day in all kinds of ways. Me too. Lord have mercy. I mean, isn't it crazy? Some of the things we watch on TV and we just have become kind of numb to it. Yeah, there's a little sexuality, a little graphic language, a little of this, a little of that, but it's a good show, right? Gosh, Lord have mercy. How we get so callous. But in the end, we really don't have anyone else to blame but ourselves, and that's the point of James. Certainly the devil's in the details and the unbelieving world, but when it comes right down to it, it's only my fault. Can't blame it on anyone else. It's only your fault. You can't blame it on anyone else. And then there's the temptation to live in denial, huh? Gosh, it's just crazy. But we have no one else to blame. And yet, that's why today is such a wonderful day. Because we hear about one who was tempted. Now, before Jesus showed up, all the people that faced the devil lost. No one won. No one won. And then Jesus shows up. And it's fascinating. Mark, he's quite the gospel writer. Those who are able to be with us on Wednesday evenings leading up to Holy Week, we'll have quite a journey going through the gospel of Mark. We're just going to chew it up. Bring your Bible. We'll mark it up and think about how wonderful his journey was, how intense it was, and yet what he was doing all the way along. Releasing people, forgiving, loving, and healing people. Rescuing them from the bondage of the devil. It's beautiful to see what happens. And it all starts here in this amazing account here where Mark just cuts to the chase, just the facts. This is the good news. And we hear how Jesus is baptized. God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then we hear something very strange. We hear the devil drives him out into the wilderness. You're going out there. I mean, the Spirit does this. Jesus has a divine appointment that God has in line with the devil. Satana. And it's a battle. Think about all the ways that we've given in, given up, gone along, and how stinking painful some of it has been and continues to be. Jesus faced it all the same. The devil threw everything he had at him. He used all the tricks. Did God really say? If you are, I mean, Mark doesn't give us the details that Matthew and Luke do, but it's fascinating. I mean, grammatically, I think it's in Luke, you can see how the devil actually starts messing with his mind. It actually takes possession of Jesus. But who withstands it all? Jesus does. This is so encouraging, so comforting, so wonderful to know. Jesus lives out a life of obedience to the Ten Commandments perfectly. He failed in none of it. Way cool. And we also know that after this temptation, he went on to face the devil in all kinds of ways. I mean, even he had to deal with the devil through his disciples. Remember when he talked about what he was going to go through and Peter said, "Oh, may it never be. Lord, let this not happen to you." And what does Jesus have to say to his own disciple? "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have the things of God, but you have the things of man." So, I mean, think about all the ways he was being bombarded. I mean, it's just fascinating to think about, and we'll do this midweeks, God willing, think about how the devil is just unleashing his whole arsenal against Jesus. Starts at his birth with Herod and leads all the way through. And yet Jesus won. Man, that's good news. He won. And he did it not for himself. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for us. His was a total life of obedience. In our Lutheran confessions, we talk about the life of new obedience. So those who have been converted, who believe in the forgiveness of their sins, that God loves them for Christ's sake, all who believe that good news and trust in the Lord because of it, live a life of new obedience. Now, we say that that life is marred with all kinds of problems. I mean, all my good works have wormholes in them and whatnot, just like yours do. And certainly, I don't want to take vacations anymore into temptations. And I'm sure you don't either. I mean, that's just what happens when you're converted. I mean, are you tempted? Can you get hooked? Yeah, for a while, and you say, "What am I doing? Why am I thinking this? Why go there?" You know, we call that the life of new obedience. In fact, in our Old Testament reading, we see what obedience really looks like. Think about it. Think how long Abraham waited for the promise to be fulfilled. Well, we also know how he fell into thinking that maybe others would be the ones through whom God would bless. But think about it. Finally, he gets his son, and then God says, "You are to sacrifice him." I mean, think about that kind of obedience. "Yes, sir." So he takes his son, goes on the trip. "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" "Well, God, Lord will provide." And think about it. Think about the new obedience of Isaac, letting his dad bind him up, place him on an altar, take the knife. I mean, good grief, that's called new obedience. What's interesting is that God did provide. But there was a father, and there was a son who will willingly go the way of the cross, where the axe would fall, and the death would take place, and the blood would flow, so that you and I would be rescued. The perfect obedience of Jesus, we call it the active righteousness of Jesus, while also his passive, letting himself be put to death as God. And all of that has changed your life and my life. That sacrifice. I love it in the song we just sang. "By his wounds, we are healed. Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And so you and I now, even now, are being healed from all the ways that we've taken Satan's bait, the world's bait, our own sinful nature's bait, hook, line, and sinker. And while it may be hard for you to look at some of the collateral damage in your life, "Oh, this really hurt that person, and they have to deal with this," trust that by his wounds you are healed. You can look at all your life, and you can trust that that's the place where God's at work, healing you, delivering you from all the ways you've fallen into temptation, from all the ways that you've tempted yourself and have been duped by the devil. Jesus is now at work healing you, blessing you, growing you in his will and in his ways, because we are living in the victory that Jesus won for us. And by his cross, no longer is God's wrath on you. No longer is God's wrath on me. We live in God's favor. We live in God's grace and mercy and love. And in that mercy and grace and love, we're learning how to look at those things that come our way. We're learning how to entertain those temptations of our sinful nature, where we're learning to say no to those things and yes to God's will and way. Do we always succeed? No. We fall into temptation. And yet, who comes to our rescue? Who's the one who gives us his victory? Our Savior Jesus. He does it in the preaching, in the songs, in the sermon, in the supper, in the reminder of our baptisms, where we were snatched away from evil and made a part of God's family. What a gift it is to think about what Jesus did. He faced our foe and won, and now we live in his victory. Not only that, but we can also help others that are dealing with struggles. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. I mean, no longer do we want to be the patsies of the devil anymore. I mean, don't you hate it when you find yourself doing the devil's service? And you say, I don't want to do this anymore. That's what faith says. And then we go forward, sharing what God has done for his son, talking as honestly and openly as we can. Is it always easy? No. Are there going to be all kinds of temptations there? Absolutely. And yet in the Lord, we have his victory. By his blood, we are healed. And it's all because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, what he's done for us, that we can have that kind of confidence. Now, will there be temptations today? Yes. Tomorrow? Yes. There will be temptations until the day we die. And yet in the strength of Jesus, we can face them. And here's how. I mean, it's fascinating when we consider our Savior Jesus and how he promises to care for us even now. Let me read this to you. This is Hebrews 4. Since then we have a great priest, high priest, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, holding on to him. Lord, I'm facing temptations now when I'm driving. Lord, I'm facing challenges. I want to watch what I shouldn't watch. Lord, help me. I'm facing all these things. I want to hold on to you. I want to hold on to you. I want to hold on to you. That's what it's about. And what's so special about him? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Lord knows what you're going through. The Lord knows how hard the travel can be. The Lord knows how many things are bombarding. And he knows. He can sympathize. The wonderful thing about him is that he was tempted in every way. I mean, that's so hard to fathom. Think about it. I mean, in all the ways. How many ways can we be tempted? The answer is that legion. Yeah, that crazy word. He knows. He understands. And he can help. And so this is how we can face those things. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Lord, I need it again. I've got to deal with, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever it is. Person, a place, a thing, you know, whatever. How many of you found yourself facing a lot of temptation being stuck camping with each other in your home, right? I mean, that's the thing. We were talking about this in between services in the fourth and fifth commandments. I mean, we find ourselves struggling the most with who? The people were around all the time, right? And so, Lord, getting a bad attitude about my spouse. Or, Lord, why do I have to deal with this? Why can't they do that? You know, I mean, how many ways are we finding ourselves just, you know, draw near. Lord, I need your grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that grace and that mercy can actually help us resist temptation. And it can also rescue us when we give in to temptation. Lord, I've done it again. Let your grace and your mercy heal me. You know, the challenge in this meditation today is, you know, there are places in your life and my life where we can think to ourselves, Lord, gosh, what a waste. Why did I do that? And when we do that, we're giving in to the temptation of despair, right? That's the way the cookie crumbles. Don't settle for that, brothers and sisters in Christ. Speak the truth to that. By his blood, I am healed. And the Lord will take these very circumstances and he will bless me by them. He will help me see more of his grace and mercy and love. I know it takes faith to hear that in certain places in your life and my life. But who's bigger than any and all the temptations we have faced? The Lord is. And who gives us his grace so that we can look at our lives from his vantage point as objects of God's love? Jesus does. And that's the victory we have and that we can live in, because that's what he has given to us. So brothers and sisters in Christ, as you go forward from here, walk with the Lord, trust in the Lord, understand he's your friend and his blood is cleansing you and healing you and making you whole and giving you the strength to live out your life as his own. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.